Hello, dental online trainers, and welcome to the Dental Online Training Sharecast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Hartlieb. Each month, I'll be talking with dental experts who are doing amazing work in the world of dentistry and talk about how they got there, where they are today, and their influences and their journey in the world of dentistry. And as a bonus, I'll occasionally throw in a few of my solo bonding sharecasts, where I share a little with you about what's going on in my practice and lessons that I have learned along the way during my career. So tune in every other week to hear our latest episode.
Hey listeners, we had a little technical difficulty with the audio quality in this episode, but we still wanted to share this interview. If you have a hard time listening, be sure to check out the complete transcript linked in the show notes so you can read the valuable insight from Dr. Margis. With that being said, let's get into this week's interview.
Hey, Dental Online Trainers. Thanks for turning back in to our Sharecast episode with Dr. Bob Margis. This episode is a two-part interview, so if you missed the first part of this interview, please go check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your favorite podcast. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of this conversation with Dr. Bob Margis.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what I admire about you, Dennis, because you and I have talked about this. I was not the best clinician. I mean, I had good hands, but I wouldn't say I was a Newton Fall by any.
Right.
I've had to train myself to get good. And what you've been doing over the last several years where people can follow along with what you're doing and see what you're doing and play it over and over and over is when you get good.
I think
and,
so.
And, you know, when you have that book that takes 10,000 hours to be an expert, I do believe it.
Yep. I don't think there's shortcuts unless you're just uniquely talented and gifted. I don't think there's a shortcut to it. I think it's just hard work and just repetition, at least for me
repetition.
And for many people that I trust and value and stuff. So,
yeah, you know, and see it, like he'll see me literally after work, working on dentiforms and doing class four still at my age, Dennis, yeah. Why do I do it? He goes, why are you doing this? You're so good at it. I said, I'll tell you why I do it. Because when you're doing it live in front of people, you got to make sure that you're continually keeping your skills up to be able to do it. Because I still screw up, Dennis. I can do a course and I still screw something up. And I was doing one at the Koi Center. I was doing a live composite veneer, showing the layering, showing the finishing, pausing. And who was my dental assistant? John Koise. So Koise is blowing air on my thing, and he's over my shoulder. You think I wasn't nervous? And then I get done, and the thing goes, oh, it's so beautiful. And then I take the disc, and I try to open up the embrasure a little bit, and I open the embrasure too much, and John goes, man, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. God, it's so true. It's hard, you know, and I think that's the other fallacy, Bob, or one of the other fallacies. Dentistry's hard, and it drives me nuts when I hear people, dentists say, oh, dentistry's easy. I can't think of a procedure that we were talking about doing tooth number 14 OL. I'm sorry, doing any tooth in the back of the mouth is not easy, especially as we're getting older. But any cosmetic procedure, I mean, if you have any, I don't know, managing lips, tongue, I mean, you know, if you're placing rubber dams, getting the isolation proper, just working in somebody's mouth, there's nothing easy about it. I don't know. Still 35 years later, yeah. I still don't find anything easy about doing dentistry. I think it's always, so I don't chit chat when I'm doing dentistry. I got to concentrate, man. This is still work. I still get nervous, Dennis.
I still, if I'm seating 10 veneers, do I like it? No, I hate it.
Stressful.
Am I going to get a little bleed if I put the etch on? Am I going to get any bleed when I put the adhesive on? After I get these on, is the last one going to fit? You know? Because I'm not the one who puts all of them on at one time and does a tack and leave. I used to do it the old way I learned from Bob. Yeah. And let me tell you what, it's hard work. Are we compensated well? Yes. But it's hard work.
It's hard work. It's great work. It's hard work. It's rewarding work. I think we're very fortunate to be in the profession that we are at the time we are with all the innovations and all the materials. I think we're just super blessed. But I don't think there's anything easy about it. Nothing at all.
No, and I will tell you this, Dennis, one thing too. These young kids coming out of school are expecting to make $150,000, $250,000. And I remember getting out of school having no money, in debt. I had an associateship that was terrible. In fact, I'm going to give you a 1 minute story. My first associateship here in Des Moines, I was taking a draw of $1,050 every 2 weeks. So I was taking $2,100 a month against future earnings. When he fired me after 12 months, I had made $1,050 every 2 weeks. I owed him $3,000 when I left because my draw was more than what he had paid, what I had earned. That I had no money. And the guy says to me, this is a great story. A guy says to me, good luck in dentistry. Your job is not to be friendly with your patient, being talking to them, this and that. Your job is to sell the dentistry and do the treatment planning and blah, blah, blah. And he says, I don't think you're going to have a hard time with it. Well, the story, this is a great story because to me, you can be the best clinician, but if you don't have communication, you will not be successful. Some of the most successful dentists I know, Dennis, may not have the best hands, but they can communicate. Would you agree with that?
Without question. You know, the old saying, those who can do, those who cannot teach, those who cannot teach, administrate. Yep. I'd like to think that we can teach and can do also, but it is another fallacy in dentistry is not just about what you can do. It's how you communicate. It's communicating with your patients, communicating with your team, collaborating with your specialists. All that stuff is about helping patients be able to, you know, get the type of dentistry that's right for them. And, you know, there's so much that goes into that. And so much of my learning has been beyond just doing the dentistry, but learning how to communicate with patients so that it's not about me, it's about them, and helping sort of guide them through the treatment that's right for them, without question.
I agree. I left one story out because that was my second associateship. My first associateship was in Iowa City, and I was working at River City Dental Care. And this was unbelievable. The hours were 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 on Saturday, and noon to 5 on Sunday. Crazy. It's open 7 days a week. So it was me and another guy. So if I was working, Dennis, I was working half those days, and then I would work, if it was my way to work, and have to work next Monday through Friday. So I would have 12 days on. Think about this. It's 12 crazy. Days on, 2 days off. It was crazy. So he says to me, I know this gal you're dating. She was a cheerleader at the time. He says, she needs some fillings. He says, don't give her a discount. I'm thinking to myself, why would I not give her a discount? And so she comes in. I do like an MO on 18, and I gave her like 20% discount. He comes in the next day and he goes, hey, did you give her a discount? I said, yeah, I gave her 20% off. He says, I told you not to give her a discount. So he fired me. So now I don't have a job. I come to Des Moines. I take that other job of $1,050 every 2 weeks. And so after a year, I get fired from that job. So now I'm a two-time loser. And so I'm thinking to myself, now what am I going to do? Great associateship for about, I was an independent contractor from 1989 to 2001, where I took a percentage of everything that I did. Didn't buy my first practice till 2001. So I was working 15 years as associates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dennis, back in 07 or 08, Hoist makes me his scientific advisor for adhesives and composites at the Coyce Center. So now I'm at the, and he's starting out the program, and he says, I'd like to announce our new scientific advisors. Well, in the audience was the dentist who fired me, turns around and looks at me like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? Because I hadn't seen him. And so he's thinking, he had to be like, what is going on here? Because he was a good dentist. So at the break, Dennis, I'm talking to a group of dentists. He comes up to me. And he puts his arm around me and he goes to the guy's Dr. Margins. He was my first associate. And I go, oh, really? Yes, I was. And I said, let me tell you the story, guys. Took a draw against future earnings of $1,050 every 2 weeks. And when I left him, I owed him $3,000 and I paid you back every penny. This guy felt like 2 inches tall.
It's what goes around comes around, right?
You can't make that story up. It's just a crazy things going on. Well, here I'm going to be a loser. I end up being successful, and now I'm working for Coice. I mean, come on, it's amazing.
How did you get started with Coice? What was your introduction to Coice and all their learning?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I had taken Spirit one class when they were together, and then when
that
John
was the,
opened,
well, it's creating restorative excellence, a CRE
CRE, and that's when they talked about all of function, biology, aesthetics. They had their curriculum, which they're both amazing instructors. I mean, when John had opened up the Coice Center, he was teaching all the courses. So I went out there with Bob Nixon, and then John, a few years later, John Durango, Marges, who teaches courses with Buddy Mopper, maybe you want to do a composite course at the Coice Center.
That's
and
what,
so
let me
John,
interrupt for one. I want to interrupt for 1 second because John Durango, he was a dentist from Illinois. And when I first took Spears' first course out at the Spear Center in back in Seattle, when Frank opened up his office, who should be at the bar the first night before the meeting that I go to get a bite to eat is John Durango. And I met John Durango there for the very first time. And so that's funny that name comes up as someone that was right there when you were taking Coice's course. So hello, John, if you're out there. And
Durango's the best.
Yeah.
Got a dentist who's just so humble, low-key. He's got more knowledge in that brain of his. I mean, he's amazing. And he's an amazing individual.
Yes, he is. So anyhow, sorry, I hated to interrupt, but I couldn't let that pass. So, all right, you're taking Coice with Bob Nixon, which I think is just incredible. Bob's taking that course, and you're taking the course.
Yep. Yep.
What was that like, taking that early course with the...
It was great, because Bob felt like he needed occlusion. Bob was an aesthetic guy, but really never had an occlusion course.
Because he was an endodontist.
He was an endodontist. Yeah, that's right. So when we went out to take the course, we decided to take it together. So we took occlusion one and two together, and we felt really great about it. I mean, you think you know everything. It's when you think you know everything, you really don't. You don't know what you don't know. And I thought I had a good background, but I took those courses, and I'd recommend any of those courses to people who are listening that want to get better.
Yeah.
Dennis, back to this, when I got out of dental school, I had no money, zero money. But my first 5 years out of dental school, I lived in an apartment. I had a crappy old car, had 500 hours of CE, 500. And I became an AGD fellow 5 years after graduating from school. The fastest you can do it is you have to be a member for 5 years. You got to have 250 hours of CE. I had 500 hours of CE. And so that if somebody came in that needed an implant, I could do it. Somebody needed direct composite veneers, I could do it. If somebody needed a porcelain, I could do it. I didn't have any money, but I had the knowledge. So I spent my money on CE.
Yeah, I did the same. I lived in a basement apartment in Chicago. Everything was, I remember the first course I took with Spear, it took me a year to pay that off on my credit card. The first time I went to the Academy of Aesthetic Dentistry meeting, it was in Aspen, Colorado. First of all, it was just seeing all these incredible dentists that were there. But beyond that, just like trying to find the cheapest place to eat in Aspen, Colorado. Everything I made was put towards CE. And I drove my buddy gave me his old car because I couldn't afford to buy a car. That car literally caught on fire when I was driving to work one day. It's these sacrifices. They're part of if you don't have the luxury of having financial opportunity, then it's just going to take a little more grit. And the question is, are you willing to do what it takes? And with the understanding of what's the end game? The end game for me was like you. I wanted to learn to be a good dentist. I just wanted to learn from the best so one day maybe I could be good. And that's, I did the same as what you did. But it was a great journey, and I wouldn't do it any different if I had the opportunity.
No. No, and you didn't live in a basement apartment. It was a garden level apartment, is
It was
what
a
they call
garden, a grease. It was a gray
it.
stone up in Andersonville in Chicago, and banging pipes
Hey.
above my head. I didn't have a bed. I was sleeping on a futon. My desk was a door I found in the alley, and I had milk crates for the legs. I mean, it just was. It was what it was, you know.
No, and let me tell you, that was the best money I spent. So if you're graduating from dental school and you're already 250, 300 in debt, you might as well borrow another 50 and go to courses after a few. You learn a little, getting a little bit of knowledge under your belt, but you gotta still continue to spend money. And my associate gets out of dental school, and what's he do? He gets a brand new Jeep Cherokee, he gets a $500,000 house, he's married, he has a kid, and now he doesn't have money for seat. I can't teach you everything. I don't know everything.
Right.
And I don't have the time to do it. And so, that's where my recommendation is CE. You can never go wrong taking CE. And Dennis, early on, I learned to be a good listener. Why? And I'll tell you a story that's a little embarrassing, but Mark Friedman came to Des Moines, of course, and me and my dentist that I was see that we go out to lunch with Friedman, and I'm telling Friedman how to do veneers, like, because I think I'm good, and I'm like, well, yeah, you don't break the contact. He goes, and when we go to the restroom, my buddy goes, just shut the hell up. He says, you're trying to tell this guy who's a master learning, you need to learn from him something, and so I learned that you need to listen. You got to be a little bit of humble, like, don't know everything, because you really don't.
Yeah, it's the old saying. It's why God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? You learn a lot more by listening than you do from talking and asking questions and being curious. I think I think is part of our Sharecast. I think it's certainly part of connecting with patients, understanding what their story is, understanding what their expectations are. I think that was one of the challenges for me when I was a young dentist, is removing myself from that and not making it about me and making it about the patient. And once I was able to make that flip, I will tell you, my practice, once I made that flip and it was not about me, it was about the patient, it was about what the patient needed and what I could help them get to, my practice changed dramatically once I learned that lesson. But it took me a while to learn that. I was full of ego and full of self-importance and all that type of stuff. And it took a little while for me to understand the significance of all that.
Dennis, people may look at us now and think, God, you guys are very successful, and probably was it wasn't easy at all. Not at all. All the money that you borrowed to buy Buddy out, to open your practice, to do what you're doing now, me having a building, I built a building in 2001, had no money. I had to borrow all this money, and so it's worth the journey, but it was not easy.
No, but it makes it all the more valuable, and and then you got better stories to tell at the end also.
That's exactly right. I got some great story, that's for sure.
Bob, I really appreciate you spending this time with us. I would love, you gave some great advice. For a young graduating dentist, they're coming out, they're a boatload in debt. You said put your money towards education. Get a, you know, you have to. And it's sad. You spend all this money, you spend, hundreds of thousands of dollars getting educated. And at Marquette, we would say they're educating you to become safe beginners, right? And I think that's a great
Great
way to put
saying.
it. Safe
Yeah, that's
beginners,
a great saying.
right?
That's a great way to put it.
So I've always recommended learn occlusion. Learn occlusion, go to Coise, go to Spear, go to Dawson, go to Pankey, get occlusion as a foundation. Then you can start learning about dental implants. You can start learning about the sexy stuff, right? You can learn about aesthetics, porcelain veneers, composites, all that stuff. Start with occlusion. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, occlusion is a foundation for everything, because if you're not understanding occlusion, veneers, and somebody's got function, they're going to break your veneers. You're going to end up having a problem. So I think that's fantastic. And the ability now, Dennis, you're doing, people don't have to travel. We used to have to travel. We used to have to pay for hotels and all your food. And now they can sit in their operatory and watch us. At a reason, I want to commend you for a reasonable price. You're
No,
not
thank you.
charging all this money to learn. I would say take hands-on courses, because you can't swim or play a piano like in a lecture. But as you said, learn occlusion, and then start looking for people that you respect and can look up to, that are teaching the right thing, because there's some institutes out there that are just teaching you how to make money. It's all about money, money, money. And if the case, you're not going to get the foundation. You're not get the foundation.
I think you're right. I think burnout would be a real issue. You know, and I can't remember who I just heard this from recently, but it's like, the great thing about dentistry, there's so many ways that you can do dentistry, right? If you want to just do ortho as a general dentist, I know someone who did that. If you just want to make your practice about implants as a GP, you can just do implants. If you want to have an aesthetic practice, if you want to have a pain practice, if you want to be like Jim McKee and have a joint-based restorative practice, find what you like and then get really good at that, right? And I mean, I think there's the old saying that you need to work on the things that you're not so good at. And I disagree. I'd say figure out what you're good at and that you like, and then just put everything towards that. And that's how my practice has been. It's been a restorative-based practice since I was a young dentist, because I didn't like surgery. I didn't like endo. And I thought there's people who can do it better. Let me just get better at what I can do that I love to do. And I think that's been really, really helped me be successful in my practice.
So like you, I don't do endo. I don't do perio. I don't do oral surgery. I don't do, you know, any of the specialty stuff, but restorative dentistry. I feel like I'm getting good at restorative, you know, crown and bridge, implant process, single tooth implants, composites. I think you need to find something that you can be good at. And if you concentrate and you're good and you can be efficient, you don't need to do all those other things. I'm not against GPs doing endo, as long as they can do it as an endodontist.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. You know? If you can do it as good as my specialist, and all power, that's great. I can't do it. And so it was easy for me, because I was no good at it and I couldn't do it. So that was an easy decision.
Yeah, I think, and always treating the patients the right way, doing what's right for the patient, is always going to, you know, help you be successful. Because if you treat people, you know, they're trusting you to do the right thing. Dennis, in 38 years of dentistry, I have never had a production goal or a staff meeting telling my staff we need to produce this amount of money. I know what we need to do in my mind, but how do I know who's walking through my door? I don't know how many implants I'm going to do this month.
Right.
And I just told my staff, if we do what the patient needs, if we can convince our patients to have the dentistry they need, that's all I can ask you to do.
Right.
I'm not asking you to sell something that doesn't need to be done. Yep. And if we're at 100, if we're at 90 crowns at the end of the month and our goal is 100, does that mean 10 people are going to be getting crowns? No.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem. All right. Well, listen, Bob, this has been awesome. I knew so much about your background. I knew about Mopper going to the Coney Island after his when he was doing his studies.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was your parents' restaurant and your grandparents' restaurant. That's just a crazy, crazy thing to know. As always, it's just wonderful hanging out and having a conversation and sort of learning about how you got to be where you are. And for those who are out there, look, I remember, and I tell the story, when the Restorative Academy used to be at the Drake Hotel, my buddy John and I would go, and we'd go down to the bar, it's the Le Coq d'Or, the Golden Rooster, and we would sit in the corner and we would just look at all the dignitaries that would come in. It would be Frank Spear and John Coyce and Bob Winter, you know, all these notoriety dentists, and just think, oh my God. And the reality is they're just hardworking dentists, right? And they just worked hard. They figured out that they loved dentistry and they just wanted to get better at it. And so for anyone out there, just, you know, learn from Bob, just get in the CE, do the workshops, do them again, learn again, get better at your skills and be open to criticism from your instructor so that you can get better and move forward and enjoy this profession to the highest level. Any parting words, Bob?
No, you know, Dennis, it's always a pleasure seeing you. I respect you so much because you've done it the right way. And listen, you and I both teach composites. I've never been in competition with you, buddy, or anybody, because we all learn from each other. I am proud of what you're doing. I can recommend your courses. I can recommend you because you're a consummate teacher. I appreciate you giving me a platform to be able to tell you my journey, because it wasn't rosy. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was successful. I found mentors. My suggestion is, I'm not looking for a student to just say, hey, come here, I want to teach you this, but somebody who wants to learn, I'm willing to help people. You want people who are, you know, active, that want to learn and drink from the fire hose. So like you, I've always been a CE junkie. I still take, you know, lots of hours myself, even though I feel like I'm pretty competent. And so I want to commend you. Keep on doing what you're doing. I look forward to seeing you at the Restorative coming up. And yeah, well, it's always a pleasure.
Humble look forward to seeing you in just about a month or so. So, so it's been great. Thank you for your generosity and your time. It really is. I'm so grateful to have you here with us.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
For our Dental Online Trainers, thank you so much for hanging out and sharing this time with us. As always, yours for better dentistry, and go blue, because this is a national championship week. So thank you for joining us. Yours for better dentistry. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartley. Well, thanks so much for listening or viewing our Sharecast today. If you enjoy this and you want to get more information from Dental Online Training, then check us out at dothandson.com. That's one word, dothandson.com. Now, as a reminder, DOT has so many great opportunities for your learning. We have our Wind and Unwind webinars, where we engage real time with our speakers and our viewers. During these live webinars, we bring in leaders throughout the dental industry to help keep you up to date on materials, issues, and techniques that affect you and your practice. We also have our monthly morning coffee and donut mentorship sessions, where we review cases and issues with our participants and what's going on with their practices. We recently launched our DOT Study Club session, where our DOT members present treatment cases. We do lit reviews, and our members provide pearls they found in their practice to help us all bring greater treatment to our patients. Hey, if you love doing hands-on workshops, you're going to love our live virtual workshops, where our Dental Online Trainers perform the same techniques that I'm doing with kits that we have shipped to them from the comfort of their own home or their office. DOT was the first to offer virtual hands-on learning, and our members just simply love these courses. And finally, we have an endless selection of our on-demand, pre-recorded hands-on technique courses to help you improve the clinical dentistry that you provide for your patients. So check us out on Instagram, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts at Dental Online Training. And you can follow me at HartleyDDS if you'd like to follow on Instagram. And hey, be sure to share this with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from this Sharecast. And if you don't mind, leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed our conversations. This podcast is edited by Luna Clark and includes original music by Chris Peterson. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Dennis Hartlieb, yours for better dentistry.